What's going on, everybody? And welcome to a very special episode of Flame On. This is the one about anything that I choose from any special episode of any 80s or 90s show is just gonna sound bad. So anyway,
we're all so excited.
Sibling rivalry. We're starting to say that this is the one where we talk about, you know.
And here why Brian said this. Now, I'm Pat DeBear, and we are here with a very special episode of Flame On. I'm going to do some introductions here in a moment so that, you know, I actually remember to introduce people this time around. But even though we are a little behind, what kind of homos would we be if we weren't fashionably late to an anniversary? We are celebrating our 15th anniversary of this show's existence in the ether. Longer if you count the original iteration that Brian has not mentioned in forever. Some media meltdown has not been name checked on the show in a while. But
that's fine. Don't worry about that anymore.
Eric is like, I was there.
It in the before the, times.
When dinosaurs roamed the earth. You were recording on clay pots. You were just getting the audio etchings on the clay pots.
Cuneiform or something. Yeah, it was great.
But we are here. The core cast of characters are here. Obviously, I'm here. Eric.
Hello.
Brian.
Hello there.
And BJ.
Cue special episode music. Sad violins, I think, is what it usually was in the 80s.
Fail horn.
No. Oh God, no, not the fail horn. Let's not trigger me on this episode as we look back. Not happening. But in addition to the core cast of characters, I'm going to introduce two of our special guests first, because they are part of the original crew of Flame On, dating back into the ether of 2010 and around that area. But we have, oh, I was going to say we'll go alphabetically, but they both start with the same letter. So I have to go to second letter, remember my alphabets. But we have the Guy-tunists, the dulcet tones of the one and only Jared. What's up, Jared?
Hi, haven't gone by Guy-tunist in a long time.
Listen, I'm reaching in the Wayback Machine and pulling these things out.
Yeah, it has been a long time.
Well, Jared is here. We're happy to have him. And I'm going to call him by his government name, but we'll first refer to him by his original Flame On name. Joining us, we have The Question. Josh is here.
Hi. Yeah, you know what? No one really liked calling me that, so we can do something like that. That was like forced. That was inflicted on the group, right?
I was going to say, most of the time it was just Q, I think.
Yeah. Actually, most of the time it was Josh, because no one respected
me. We weren't very good at continuity. We weren't good at a lot of things those days.
We're going to retroactively cancel Brian and the crew for not respecting your question namesake.
Your chosen name.
Yeah. There's so much to cancel Brian on, we'll just add it to the pile.
That is not part of this episode. Let's just get that. If Oral was here, he could cancel me all day.
15-year anniversary. A cancel Brian episode.
This isn't a Brian roast? What am I doing here then?
Oh.
It's like the roast of Michelle Visage, where she didn't know it was happening. But in addition to original Empire starting hosts that have joined us, we also have one of the major forces of getting this show up and on the internet as part of the Nerdy Show Network. Fearless leader that is Kat. What's up, Kat?
Hey, Pat. Gosh, a lot's up. It's been a long time. Happy 15th birthday, Flame On. You outlived Nerdy Show. Congratulations. Which isn't to say that we don't get unfrozen like Bucky Barnes or whatever every now and then, but you folks have been doing it with a degree of at least some kind of consistency. It's far better than we've done. Which is a real triumph, quite frankly.
Oh, thank you.
We appreciate that. And yeah, it's been a little rockier as of late, as we've gotten a little older and gotten big boy jobs that have pulled us all into different directions. But it was definitely a labor of love that we have enjoyed doing over the past 15 years to bring this show to life and make it something that people have wanted to hear? Question mark. This is where the listeners now flood our inboxes with letters of love and adoration for the work that we've put in.
They do?
They should do that, and then you could read them in whatever the next episode is.
Oh, we would love that.
I like your thinking.
15th anniversary part 2 fan memorial episode.
I was very close to going rogue and making like a flame on Reddit, but leaving it completely unlocked for like the random internet to like munch on. And then I was like, that's either going to turn out really fun or really terrible. And I was like, no, I won't do that.
There's always tomorrow. We never know what will happen with BJ in this show. Well, we are going to take the first part of this episode to kind of catch up with Jared, Kat, and Josh, chat a little bit about the last 15 years, maybe share a memory or two that has been a highlight for us. We want to keep it loosey-goosey. This is really just a celebration and a thank you to everybody. I mean, you can't really see them, although I am keeping the video from this, so maybe we'll be able to splice some stuff together. Good thing you made your bed, Josh. I'm just saying. But I wanted to make sure that I thank the people that are on my screen, everybody that I have introduced on this episode, because it's been a wild ride. I haven't been with the show for the entire 15 years, but a majority of it I have been a part of the cast of characters. So thank you to all of you here. Thank you to everybody that's listening. And it's been a wild ride. So let's throw it over to Jared first. Let's get a little check-in with the artiste himself. What's been going on?
Okay, so we'll just do the Cliff Notes version of this. So I left Flame On, went to grad school, got into themed entertainment design, moved to Austin, Texas. Now I'm an art director at a video game studio.
Oh, congratulations.
Wow. That's awesome.
I love it. How is treating you? How is Texas treating you?
I like it. When I moved here to Austin, I was frantically looking for, you know, any sort of form of gayberhood in there. But as it turns out, Austin's just the gayberhood of Texas. So
yeah.
I've been to Austin. I love it. I have some friends there. Actually, what's funny is I have some friends there. And I've been there a couple times, and I made myself sick off all the food because there's a taco place literally every 5 feet.
Yeah, it's tacos and barbecue every corner, so yeah.
I had a rattlesnake hot dog in Austin once. It was good.
Hell yeah.
Ooh.
I actually grew up in Austin, and I didn't know it was considered the gayberhood of Texas, but that now explains why I'm gay.
Is Austin a nexus point? I feel like it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, hi, Jared. I haven't talked to you in forever. You look like you're doing
well.
Hello,
Josh. I know. Hi. I should come visit you when I go to LA later.
Yes, please do. Wait, what video game studio are you working for?
It's an indie studio that some friends of mine in Florida started. So it's called Found in the Woods Games. We only have a LinkedIn page. That's all we got right now. So
no, what kind of games do they make?
Good question. We're still working on it.
Okay, really, just that LinkedIn page. Okay.
They said we have a name, a logo, a LinkedIn page, and a dream
prototype. That's all we got.
I like the logo.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, did you design the logo?
Sorry, I got two things going on.
Did you design the logo?
Yes, I did.
Ah.
Miss Kat.
Jared has been working his mad skills on a number of fronts, and I suppose this is the editorialized history. There were things before this he didn't just stumble into a this particular thing, and has been from time to time, like, lending his skill to various Omniverse productions. You're the central artist of most of the work that you'll see on the Call of Cthulhu website, all of the key character designs of recent time. So,
love it. We're talking about Austin. Have you gone to the Iron Bear?
No. Strangely enough, I haven't gone to many of the gay bars because there is a. This is the nerdiest thing I've ever done in my life. I go to a fantasy LARP tavern in Austin.
Stop it.
It's called the Tiny Minotaur. And
oh shit! I think my friends may go there. Actually, I'll stop that.
So I've now graduated from just a patron to, like, I'm in the inner circle now. Just really good friends with the people that run that place. So yeah,
that's so dope. That's so cool.
Love it. I only ask because my friend Krill is a DJ and is essentially like intertwined with the Iron Bear. So
yeah,
I love it.
The only other like gay bar I've gone to in Austin is Cherub Charlie's, but that's kind of just like the catch-all for all queer communities in Austin. So
nice. Yeah. I love it. All right, I am excited to hear more, and you know, it is great catching up. But I want to toss it over to Josh. Let's get a little bit of Q backstory, a little Q lore to add to the Flame On history. What's been going on by you?
Well, I gotta say, things have been pretty rough, but you are catching me on back on the upswing to things getting better. But to take it from when I left Flame On over a decade ago, I moved to Los Angeles to work at IGN, which was my dream job. And I ran their comic book section, and then I was promoted and, you know, was a senior editor and video producer for movies, TV, games, and really was like the superhero expert, also Pokemon expert. Somehow that happened. And really, it was a great time to be really, really, you know, knowledgeable about superheroes because that took over pop culture. But after 10 years there, I got laid off all of a sudden. It was very devastating because I made that job my entire personality. And now I'm like, well, now what am I supposed to do? And then actually that same week, I was diagnosed with cancer. And I did 6 months of chemo, and I've been in remission since then. Almost a year to the date. Thank you. I'm getting applause for those who can't see. It's super scary and awful, but you know, when you lose like literally everything, you know, it really does make you appreciate what you have and what really matters. And it's not a job or money. Money is nice though. But it truly is having good times and creating special memories with the people you care about. Like all of you.
Really glad to hear that you are doing better, and absolutely you deserve all the applause for, you know, a year in remission. And
yeah,
that is absolutely
awesome.
Great. So we're glad to hear that you are on the upswing, that things are going better. And we're really glad that you're able to join us on this. That's been as we've gotten older, as much as we may not want to admit it, you know, finding time to do these recordings and do these episodes has been tough. So having you guys on the show with us to celebrate this is very, very heartwarming, and I'm really glad that you guys were able to make it. So appreciate that. What is in the future for you, Josh? What have you got cooking? What are you working on? Is it things that you can talk about? You don't want to put any potential bad juju out there for things that, you know, to maybe not happen? Or what you got going on? Because you're still in LA, right?
I am still in LA. Well, now that I'm, you know, back on my feet, I was doing a lot of like freelance work, doing, you know, TV and movie reviews and writing some stuff for about like trading card games and stuff like that. I'm currently doing a temporary 6-month contract at Blizzard doing marketing for Hearthstone, which is actually a great gig for me because I love card games. As I said earlier, Pokemon expert, you know. So that's been really good. But after that, like, who knows what'll happen?
Nice. I was just in LA for like a day and a half for work a couple of weeks ago, and the Blizzard offices are like right by the highway, right?
The Blizzard offices are in Irvine, from what I know. Yeah.
Yes. No. That's Irvine is where LAX is.
Yeah.
So I was.
I don't think so. It's like an hour away.
Yeah. I have a girlfriend who spent many years in Irvine. Yeah. Like,
wait, no. What am I thinking?
You're thinking of Square Enix. Oh.
I'm thinking of Englewood as well. So, okay, never mind.
Oh yeah, Englewood is right by LAX, and there's a ton of game development in Los Angeles. Yes, Square Enix, Riot. You know, you name it.
Missing it. It was a really quick trip, and it was a lot of stuff going on at one time. But no, that's great.
If there's a office that's actually in the same city as me, then I'm mad because I'd drive an hour to Irvine.
They just don't want to tell you about that office, Josh. That's what's going on. They said, "Oh, he'll drive to that office. Yes, just go that way." No, that's awesome to hear. And again, thank you for being a part of this. Last but not absolutely not least, Kat, what has been going on? How have you been? What's new?
Well, golly, Pat, loaded questions. Let's see. I think the last time I was on Flame On may have been a 10th anniversary episode. Possibly, but I'll just go ahead and do the full thing. Nerdy Show at one point pivoted towards Omniverse. If you, dedicated listener of Flame On, have been trying to get to nerdyshow.com/flameon, you're like, where's the Nerdy Show website? Did Nerdy Show die? Nerdy Show didn't die. It's just kind of like dormant and mostly lives in a Discord server. The thing about WordPress is you can have too much WordPress, and eventually an old site just like caves in on itself. So that site is broken to all fuck, and we don't know how to unfuck it. We need a WordPress expert. If that is you, contact me, omnivox@omniverse.media, because we want to unfuck nerdyshow.com. We just can't. So if you're a professional unfucker, please come unfuck us. That's the Nerdy Show end of things. I started producing audio dramas and like not being a journalist so much as I've been like fronting my creative endeavors. So the Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program was up until very recently the show I was best known for. It is a historical fiction horror comedy audio drama that's also an actual play podcast where a 50-50 blend of scripted audio drama, but then all the core story is created at the table, and we hybridize. We record everything, so people are doing actual tabletop role playing. We get those live performances and all those like knee jerk reactions to all the horror and everything going on. Everyone's really embodied in all their characters, and then I come in and I turn it into a like movie/television show, and add in extra scenes to build characters and enhance the historical fiction component of the storytelling and give it good episode blocking and so forth. So that show's been incredible to make. We're still working on the next season. It takes multi-years per season to do this show. It's extremely complicated to make. And then I started doing Mother, She Wrote, an Earthbound podcast, a show about the legendary cult Nintendo series Earthbound, which is a travelogue. Half of it is an audio drama, and the other half is a talk show with myself and my wife, who's my co-host. So we go through sections of the game and bring people into the story so that people can experience it, this like very important narrative in the landscape of pop culture and fiction at large. But it is also a little bit difficult to get into sometimes. If people aren't inclined to get into it or don't want to sit down and play a role-playing game, they're not going to do it. So the audio drama allows people to connect with the characters and immerse themselves in the game without having to pick up a controller. And then myself and my co-host Jess talk about the nuances of the game, all the background of the development, and very specific components of it. And that show has been incredible to make. I've been a member of the Earthbound fan community for a long time. I grew up in that world, and then stepping into it in this bigger way has been remarkable. So remarkable that last year it took me to Japan to interview Shigesato Itoi, the creator of the game, and Keiichi Suzuki, the lead front person of the Moon Riders, who did the music for the first, or was the co-composer of the music for the first two games. So that's been a wild ride and kind of homogenizes my journalist past and my audio drama present. I'm still working on Lightning Dogs, the would-be animated series about a pack of anthropomorphic dogs trapped in a post-apocalyptic Earth. That's now being pivoted into a all-ages book series. And then in the past couple of years, what I'm actually better known for is as a voice actor, I play Verge on Midnight Burger, which is, I believe, the most successful or biggest indie sci-fi audio drama in the world, possibly. It's enormous, and I loved the show, and then they asked me to be on the show. So I play a character named Verge, who is a non-binary alien scallywag, like space criminal, with a lot of trans allegories, and they are like an extension of my favorite parts of myself. And playing that character has been incredible, and I've never experienced anything like it before, because the fandom is intense. There's fan art, there's fan fiction, it's been a time. I'm taking up a lot of space, but here's the life stuff. The sad fact is I was a trans woman in Florida, and so I had to leave my home several years ago, 2023, because they took away 80% of trans healthcare for adults in Florida. They eliminated the ability of nurse practitioners to give prescriptions for hormone replacement therapy and to treat their patients. So without that medicine, I would be forced into rapid onset menopause and experiencing like aching, crippling like osteoporosis within a week. So I had an opportunity to move to Louisville, Kentucky and move in with Jess, who is now my wife. And now I'm the mom of two kids.
Aww. Whoa, whoa.
So I have a 10 and a 12-year-old, and I live in Kentucky, and I'm on my second marriage. And, you know, life's weird. Life's funny like that, right?
Cat doing the damn thing out here. Jesus.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
If anybody wondered, like, why is it taking so long for all these episodes to come out? It's because you just don't have the same amount of time when you're a parent. It's real
you're
fucked up like
mom.
That.
Mom, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry that you had to go through the issues in Florida, but congrats on all of the positive that has sprung from the shittiness of what they were doing. You're not the only person that I know that moved out of Florida because of that issue. Aubrey and Ace, actually, Melanie from the Parliament House, and her partner, exact same reason. And they moved to Illinois. They're like about an hour or so outside of Chicago, and like they got a huge farm and all of this, and living their country life. And then Melanie trains into the city and will twirl and buck and do her shows out here. So,
right on. That's great.
Yeah, it's a shitty situation, and I hate that anybody has to go through that. But kudos and all of the applause for taking that issue and really just finding a way to thrive afterwards. So major kudos to you for that.
Yeah, I certainly don't want to downplay it. It's a really difficult thing to talk about because it's like it is like genuinely the most traumatic thing to ever happen to me, to like have to be forced away from my like family and friends. But then I step into something that is actually wonderful, which makes it kind of difficult to talk about, because then it's like, well, hey, you traded up, didn't you? And it's like, well, No, I mean, there's the attempted genocide of my people. There's that. So, you know, it's, yeah, it's.
Yeah, you just, it's never a matter of trading up or whatever. It's finding the beauty in the pain and being able to hold on to that, because otherwise it's just soul crushing. And
the beauty in survival.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. To be able to thrive in any situation.
Yeah. I do what I can.
Well, no. And we appreciate you for doing that, for continuing to thrive. I know so much has gone on with all of us over the last 10, 15 years, 5 years, even, like, from the last time that we've had kind of a group chat on an episode. But no matter what, we've all found a way to continue to push through and find those ways to make it work and find the joy and the fun in life. So I appreciate that. And honestly, I think kind of like the last thing that I wanted to do with all of us here, because we're gonna take a short break in a little bit, our commercial break, our pause for station identification, as I like to say, and then we're gonna pivot a little bit to just some pop culture shenanigans. But does anybody have any favorite Flame On memories that they would like to share, especially from our guests here? The regular people are, you know, we talk about this shit all the time, but Jared, Josh, Kat, anything that stands out in your minds as a favorite moment?
This is not answering your question at all, because it's a nerdy show production, but to this day, I still think a lot about Dungeons and Doritos. For those who don't know, they would sit and play Dungeons and Dragons while trying different kinds of Doritos, like weird flavors from all over the world. And it sort of had this ASMR quality as you're listening to them like crunch on the chips or mix two different flavors. It was ASMR before ASMR was a thing. It was great. I still tell people about that show.
I'm glad you enjoyed the eating noises, because as I'm sure you can imagine, it's a bit divisive. Yeah. you know, Dungeons & Doritos is actually still going.
Really?
Like, we haven't put anything out in public in a while, but we are still recording. We kind of managed to get like a couple episodes a year, and we're working towards like getting to a conclusion. And we recently, I won't spoil anything, but we recently did some stuff that kind of circles back around to a plot involving, the Triforce Mike's character Chair getting, taken out of existence.
So now's a great time to jump back in.
Yeah, I'm spinning a lot of plates, but sooner or later it's gonna come out, you know, maybe decades from now.
Cool,
but...
cool. If anyone else has been on a 15-year break like me, yeah, get back in, let's go.
Yeah, the like raw mixdown episodes are up on Patreon, but I'm not gonna, you know, don't want to send everybody to a paywall. That's not polite. They'll come out eventually.
That's great news.
Jared, I'm sure you have a memory or two.
No.
He's trying to block them all out.
Jared has a 1,000-yard stare right now.
he doesn't want to be tied to any of that nonsense.
Yeah. It's like he can read right through me.
My favorite memories were always the moments when we weren't recording, but shenanigans were happening, whether it was at Maricon, when I first met Josh, which technically predates Flame On, but like not almost. It's still like what I'm saying. It's those moments in between, before and after. But and then like hanging out at the house, either house, having cocktails or just talking about nerdy stuff, going over to Cat's place, and just, you know, all of the shenanigans that Nerdy Show productions were like then, very hectic. And quite frankly, Cat, I don't know if you know this, I was so intimidated by you.
It's why?
Because you were just so, you are a force of nature.
I am now. I don't know what the fuck I used to be.
You were. No, you were. Well, no, but you were. And I think those the recordings that I was part of, which I don't even remember now what other things I did. I know I was on Nuri's show at least once, but like those were the things that gave me such energy to do what I did with Flame On. And, you know, it meant so much that you were so inclusive to me and inviting to us as our little thing came to fruition. I mean, you gave us a platform. You gave us more than a platform. You put us right at the table. Being with you and Jared and Josh as part of the, and BJ later and Eric, of course, and Pat, like being part of the Nerdy Show and then a Comic Shop family was just such a, I look back on it as such a pivotal and amazing time in my life because it was just such a good community that was queer and geeky and weird and amazing and just all facets. So, you know, Flame On would not have existed without Aaron Holland. I want to mention, he was still back slinging comics in Orlando as part of Ultimate Comics in Oviedo. So if you're in Orlando, you need a comic shop, go say hi, tell him Flame On sent you because he named our show, which is both amazing and weird. But, you know, he was really always very nice and generous with his community that he fostered there. And yeah, I don't know. I think the only other thing that always is one of my favorite is just when we ran around the first episode, we ran around and interviewed people at gay days, you know. And talk to that wet guy because this wet, like back
wet
when
I, guy?
Well, he was a wet salesman. So he sold the wet brand of lube.
Stop saying wet.
At least it's not moist.
Yeah,
this moist man.
No, but we called him the wet guy and we interviewed him for like, felt like an hour, but he was so enthusiastic. And that was like that first adventure we had as a podcast, after which we had many others at Comic Cons and just wherever we would run around to Parliament House on occasion. So, but that first adventure was, I think it was all of us, at least, you know, the original incarnation. And that episode's still there somewhere. If you want to go back into the archives and find the, am I dry or whatever we called it.
No,
it was
so like,
bad.
You wet?
Oh, I thought it was you dry. I don't know. Either way,
no,
we did
episode
both.
Zero is something like you dry. And then episode one with the, from Gay Days is I think titled just you wet.
Yeah. We couldn't figure out how to start. So we just did. But that was the joy of it. You know, having all of our different skill sets come together to make a product that, you know, I had the honor of like show running for however many years I was able to until, you know, I gave it to Pat, rightfully earned it and took it from me in the divorce. No, I mean,
well before the divorce.
That's fair. Like, you really did.
You gave it to me. I came in and I was like, we can't have a podcast where we don't know what the schedule is every 2 weeks. Let's go. And I ran this shit like a well-oiled machine.
The trains ran on time is all I'm saying, and that's what we loved. No, I mean it was such a great adventure, and you know obviously we're still doing it, but I always look back on some of those adventures and just yeah, it was so much fun. So I'm glad to have this time with everyone to recollect a little bit.
Absolutely. Yeah,
I mean, Flame On was the first like auxiliary group of people that got brought into the Nerdy Show Network. And I really loved the different ways that early on as a network, there was a lot of, there's a lot of unity in a lot of different ways. There was a sort of a familial aspect in some regards to a lot of it. And we loved that, like that community, being a part of that community. Shout out to Aaron Holland, you know, like, a real grungler, a real true grungler. As far as Flame On memories, I mean, like I was a real busybody back then trying to like do this indie network thing and not knowing what the fuck I was doing, but just trying my best. Very funny to me that I was ever imposing Brian, quite frankly. I remember we did a photo shoot that I never got around to doing any of the finishing work on. Q was still like hiding face, and so we were doing these like these bike back shots and so forth. And also, I don't know where the fuck this came from or why this happened, but in the con box that I'd take for like Nerdy Show and other adjacent projects showing off at conventions, but there was like a pair of like gray cotton briefs with a flame on, iron on, like periodic table logo, and then like a button attached to it, which like eventually got like the way that buttons tend to do, like got rusty from the inside. Anyway, that was like, I always forgot to take it out when I was done traveling with this box. So I always would like be unpacking stuff at a convention, and be like, oh, Jesus.
I'm so glad that survived for so long. That was like the original merch, like that we did, very much homemade. I think that was Jared's early, maybe the second logo, because I know the first one was like something else, and then we coalesced around this periodic element.
The first one I made what I thought was a concept in paint.
That's
and
what
then
it
you
was.
Just took it and started putting it on things. I was so
that sounds that 100%
finished,
right.
Finished work product. You hand it off to your lead, and that's it. No, but then that merch went around to shows. We had underwear that we were trying to sell with this really rough iron-on patch.
Okay, and so y'all tried to sell underwear with an iron-on patch, but I got cross-eyes when I was like, let's do a swimsuit calendar, and everybody's like, no. And I'm like, but the underwear, the weird underwear that rusts, it is acceptable.
To be fair, we weren't in the underwear. That was just a separate thing. And we would have to be in swimsuits for that calendar idea, BJ. Okay? That's why you got pushed back.
We had Charlie Harding. I don't know if he's still doing adult film or not, but retired porn star, let's say. We had him in our underwear, that rusty underwear at Bear Bust 1 year. And
Scotty Rage.
Oh, yeah, Scotty, too. Like, it was a great... That would have been our calendar. Like, that should have been our approach, yeah.
Yeah.
Stop number two in my time machine.
I have the pictures.
Me a full 5 years, 10 years earlier.
Yeah, that was those a different pair of those initial underwear were with the flame on stuff for a long time, and I think we eventually gave them away at a Bear Bust event at Parliament House. At least the final pair. That brings back memories, Kat. Thank you. And the underwear did not rust, BJ. The button did. So just remember that. There is a distinction in there.
You're still going to need a tetanus shot if stuff adjusts wrong.
You know, that was just an added feature. You could take it off if you wanted to.
If you still have your flame on underwear, send a sexy photo to... The flame on address is.
info@flameonshow probably still works. Maybe.
I think all of our first names at Flame On Show, I believe, should still work.
Yeah, they
still
active. I think they do, yeah.
Do you have a Discord server now?
It's still there.
I don't know Discord. I'm not that savvy. So those types of things BJ has to handle because I don't know how to do them.
No, Rodolfo is the last person standing on our Discord. Bless his heart.
He's like one of the only people that chimes in on our Patreon posts, so shout out to Rodolfo for being a dedicated and long time part of the Flame On lore. We appreciate you. Well, I as we wrap up this segment, I will just say that this podcast has given me so many opportunities that I did not ever imagine being able to take advantage of, in conjunction with like my life at Parliament House, the interviews, the guests, the people that we've got to talk to, you know, Jared, when you and I did Zan's interview, when we interviewed Jason Aaron, going to RuPaul's Drag Con and getting into the press room and getting to interview the entire cast of UK season one, just Jinx and Ben de la Creme and all of these people that, you know, there's so many guests that we got on this show, and to live those experiences, it was just amazing. And I thank Kat, I thank Aaron, I thank Brian, Jared, Josh, Eric, Oral, all of everybody for you know, welcoming me into the fam, and then being okay when I just kind of took over the show at some point.
Someone's got to do it.
But any final words? I'll leave it open for the entire crew that's with me. Any final words? Any last things to reminisce about the 15 years of Flame On that we've celebrated?
It's been 15 years, really. Really? Do we need to get like a
feels like a lifetime?
Do we need to get a learner's permit for the podcast now?
Yes. If this thing could drive itself, I would be so happy.
if I might put a button on this, you know, as we're all reminiscing about mostly positive memories, I started to think of one negative story about Eric when it was a comic book, an X-Men comic book. I think it was Schism. Yeah, came out, and I said that I didn't like it, and Eric was like aghast. And I thought the conversation ended when the podcast did, but apparently he held on to this and took it personally and sort of developed a vendetta against me. Like, he hit up Aaron, who was giving me access to the comic shop's back end thing where you can read comic books before they come out. And I used to do like comic book reviews and relied on that. And suddenly I like couldn't get in. And I was like, what is going on? I had to like track it down. And apparently Eric just got so mad at me because I didn't like an X-Men comic, and we had to like kiss and make up, and I had to be like, you know, maybe it wasn't so bad. Well, here's the thing. That comic did suck, and I do not like it, and I can finally say so, Eric. Mic drop.
Wow. I don't even remember Schism. That's oh my God.
That's how bad it was.
It was Flame On Schism 2.
Jean Grey doesn't always make good choices with her life. Let's just say that, all right?
I can just imagine Eric being in his bathtub with that copy of X-Men on the phone with Aaron being like, you do not let that man read comics in advance. And then hangs it up and just like bubbles and candlelight and just him reading that one book.
You cut him off.
That is such a deep cut reference to Eric in his bathtub, by the way. I just want to applaud you for that.
I was in his bathtub at one point. We did an episode together from his bathtub. It was...
Yep.
I totally forgot that. Wow.
Joy.
Well, we are going to take a break here, dear listeners. We'll be back in just a moment, but I want to once again say thank you to Jared, Kat, and Josh for joining us. We'll do a quick round robin. Where can people keep up with your adventures or your company's adventures? The LinkedIn page, maybe. Josh, why don't you start us off? Where can people keep up with you if they would like to follow your adventures?
I do technically still have a Twitter, even though we don't call it that anymore, and the place has been overrun with Nazis. But you can also find me on Instagram, which is, you know, Joshua Yale, if you want to say hello.
Awesome. Jared, how about you?
I'm not very active with social media. I have accounts, but like I update them like every 6 months. So it's really good to just, you know.
Leave them alone.
Yeah.
He's like, don't reach out to me. If you think about writing to me, don't. But one more time, what is the company that the game studio? What is their name so that way people can look up their LinkedIn page?
Yes, Found in the Woods Games.
Awesome. Yeah. And please don't write directly to Jared. I've missed having you on the show, Jared. And Kat. Yeah. Kat, where can we follow your adventures and your projects that you're working on?
Well, you'd be surprised who turns up from the old days on the Omniverse Discord. which you can find at omniverse.media/discord and get on in there. As for me, I have been kind of stepping back from social media. You can find me on Blue Sky. That's where I'm most active. I do still have an Instagram, but who knows for how long, because I sure don't like that company. Otherwise, you can find me producing all the aforementioned shows. They're linked to at omniverse.media, on Midnight Burger, wherever you listen to podcasts. And let's see. You can also find me at Gen Con. I don't know when this episode's coming out, but if it's coming out by the time that the end of July to beginning of August happens, I'll be at Gen Con. Drop me a line at omnivox@omniverse.media and let me know if you'll be there. That should just about do it. Thanks, Pat.
Awesome. Well, we're going to take a quick break here, folks, but thank you, Kat, Jared, and Josh. It's been great getting to celebrate 15 years of Playmon with all of you. Well, that was so much fun. I forget how much reminiscing about the old days of the podcast hits the heartstrings. So,
I mean, I just miss Jared's uncomfortable constipation face when you ask him to, like,
participate.
every time you would do a recording on Sunday, I would walk in and be like, "You ready to record, Jared?" And he's like, "No."
Jared is, I think, the original sound. I mean, he didn't make it exactly the same, but the idea was conveyed in every other part of his body.
It's like a Butch Marge Simpson, like, judgmental groan. It would always be kind of a,
Yeah. Judgmental, to be sure.
I love it.
But we love them it. For it.
Miss that being part of the dynamic. So we are going to do just a little bit of pop culture talk, because there are a couple of things that have come out, and there are a couple of things that we're going to focus on in a little more detail, probably in their own episode. I think maybe we have a couple of little micros coming up with the summer going on. It might be a little bit easier than getting one big episode out. Like, I know that Brian has mentioned he wants to talk about Superman. I still haven't had a chance to see it. We will talk about that.
It's so good, Pat.
I know. I want to. I just haven't had a chance to. The last couple of weeks have been, or since it's come out, like, I've had a couple of weekends in a row that have just been hectic. And then I'm traveling. I'll be in California when this episode drops, or the afternoon that this episode drops. I'll be in town for Dory, for Up Your Alley. And then we're going we're going to Guerneville for Lazy Bear next week. So,
doing a
whole California adventure, taking a nice little vacation from work, and it'll be good.
Nice.
So, I will get around to seeing that, but at the same time, I will also get around to seeing Fantastic Four. So, I think if we do a little superhero double feature, that would be great.
Yeah,
we should probably talk about Drag Race All Stars 10 at some point. Spoilers, but congratulations to friend of the pod, honorary co-host Ginger Minj, for taking the win on this season of All Stars. Congrats, girl.
So she got happy. It, gal.
What's that?
She got it, gal.
Yes. Exactly. So there are a couple of things that we'll probably do some smaller bite-sized episodes to talk about. Or, I mean, the movies will probably be a little bit longer, but we have some things to definitely talk about. But there were a couple of things that have come out or happened that I wanted to bring up, and maybe me just kind of throwing some topics to you guys and seeing what your thoughts and your takes are. Because normally I come to an episode and I'm like, I don't know what I watch. I don't know what's going on in the world. And I'm struggling to find a topic. Today I'm like, let's talk. But the first thing that I need to throw out there, and I know at least one person knows what I'm talking about, I need to gauge the rest of you guys on. One day, a couple of weeks ago, maybe like 2 weeks ago, I go on YouTube, on my YouTube channel, on my living room TV. And there's a video about marbles. I've never seen this before and decided to watch the opening ceremonies to, like, is it gel or I don't know if it's gel or jellies, like Gels Marble Run. And I am so befuddled by the fact that there is a whole ass channel dedicated to this miniature world where these marbles are living beings and essentially compete in Olympic style tournament for medals. And they actually get medals at the end of each event. And I watched this thing for like 20 minutes and was so hooked that when the new videos come out, I watch them. I am so, who else? Brian, you mentioned when you were here that they play this at the curling club. Eric, BJ, have y'all seen the Marble Run?
I know of it. I have not seen real life Marble Run. I've seen like on Twitch where there's like a Twitch version that streamers can do of Marble Runs that they do for their audience. But I've never seen the real life Marble Run.
You've never seen Gel's Marble Run on YouTube?
No, I mean, I've seen a couple Marble Run videos come up in my timeline, but I never clicked them because then my algorithm will be all marbles.
Oddly, it has not been that for me, but...
Well, you've got a lot of competing influences in your algorithm. That's for
sure. I've got two. I've got wrestling and video games.
Video game playthroughs and wrestling are the only videos other than, oh no, drag race related. Those three are the only video sites I've ever seen at your place. I'm glad you can add a little second or fourth flavor of the Marble Run.
So you keep saying Marble Run, and I'm like, do you mean like the actual little,
yeah,
like balls, right?
Yes.
Like things that kids in like the 70s played with.
It's almost like, yeah, Hot Wheels tracks, but like for marbles.
Yes. Well,
like, oh, if you go back to like thinking of like from the original Nintendo, like Marble Madness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like that. These things are.
I owned a marble track. I had a marble track when I was a kid. Like, I had a giant one that like I had added to. I think it's still in my mom's attic somewhere. But yeah, yeah. No, okay. So yeah, I know what it is.
Yeah.
But as y'all were talking, I was like, is this a curling thing?
No, but this is like, this is the extent, BJ. Somebody has made miniature, like, sets. They've made a miniature world where these marbles, and they've got like tons in like the same color schemes, and they are their own teams. So like you've got the Orange Arrangers, the Balls of Chaos, my favorite name of any team. And this is how I knew it wasn't just me. I went on Blue Sky like a day after watching the first one, and somebody's post was about the Balls of Chaos, and I was like, oh, it's not just me getting pushed, like getting Gel's Marble Run pushed to me. But they have like these tracks and like launching devices to send these marbles on their way to do hurdles. And like today's episode was a 5 meter. And then there's like 24 teams and they have captains. They've got alternates. It's insane. When the teams hit the podium, they have little gold, silver, and bronze medals that they put on the marbles.
Okay, I don't know what 80s movie or post-apocalyptic storyline I'm thinking of, but this feels like some First District shit. This feels like people with so much time on their hands. It's because I just typed in marbles in the YouTube, and like 20 different Marble Run videos have immediately. My algorithm's already changing.
You know what it is? It's a lot of, and this was really big in COVID, I think. It's a lot of software engineers, potentially with kids on the spectrum. Well, they're probably on the spectrum too, but you know what I mean. And they had time during COVID to build these things and like really grow this ecosystem. But yeah, at the curling club, I cannot tell you how many times I have had to go in and change the YouTube channel, so to speak, because like kids would be running around watching curling, playing their switches, and then obsessing over the marble videos when all we're trying to do is just show curling. So anyway, it's endemic. I'm kind of surprised that Pat's fallen into this habit, but good. And it scratches an itch. It scratches like that Rube Goldberg, you know, the beginning of Pee-wee's Big Adventure, satisfaction of seeing the system unfold and do the thing. Like, I get it. But yeah, I've immunized myself to it at this point. Yeah.
I love the fact that he's like, we will not have anything compete with the curling. Nothing can be more entertaining than the curling.
You have to stay on brand. You know what I mean?
This is my neurospicy obsession. You take neurospicy obsession.
Get your own hyper focus
on your parents' phone. Because
I mean, if you're not looking directly at the on ice live curling, you better be watching it recorded on the TV right above your head.
That is exactly right. That is exactly what I change it to, too.
All right. So the first video on YouTube is Marble Run Course. You can watch forever. Marble Course Creator, like yep. Mario Kart Racing ASMR. And it's by Marble Run System.
No, I need BJ. I need you to look up Jell's Marble Run. JELLE'S Marble Run, because it's not just like the marbles going forever. Like, this is a whole out world and the Olympics of Marble Run. It is crazy. And then you can actually watch like all of the events from previous years that they put into a single like 3-hour video that you can watch all of the events. It's insane.
There's qualifier.
Yes, it's like the Olympics. Insane.
Oh my god, they have the set I had. Okay, that's wild.
But then
of course they would. It's the prototype. It's the original, the OG.
It's called Funnel Endurance. I can't.
Yes, because the last marble to make it down wins.
Listen.
And there's like 24 teams, so they do heats. Like, it is flat out like the goddamn Olympics, and it is ridiculous, and I don't understand why I am so enthralled by it.
BJ, don't you get excited about that funnel endurance thing. I'm just saying, I can tell your spider senses are
changing. That's been heard before.
I almost clicked on it. But I have a carefully curated YouTube of reaction videos, and it's K-pop Demon Hunters is over.
Oh my god, I just watched that this afternoon. It's good.
That's the other thing I will say. I cannot understand the reaction video thing. Like, why did we not get in on this decades ago? Like, if this has become the new hotness and everybody watches, it's like, I don't know. I guess Mystery Science Theater was the original reaction video, right? Kind of.
Yeah.
No.
In a sense, it scratches that itch. It scratches that. Like, I didn't.
Or Statler and Waldorf could even be considered reaction.
Exactly. Yep. It scratches that sort of itch, but it depends on the type of people you watch. Like, I've got Trixie and Katya come through my algorithm, queens who like to watch. There's actually three people in Miami, Florida, your boy Roshi. They're hilarious because one of the guys, whenever it's super dramatic or like deep, he starts sweating. and it happens so much when they watch anime. He makes little sizzle reels of like times Lupa has been sweating.
Oh my god.
You really just have to find, but the music reactors are the ones that I keep meaning to send you, Brian, because there are musicians that will actually like break down some of your favorite songs.
Oh, and no, I follow those. I follow those for sure. I've definitely done that.
Then you know what
I don't think of that as reaction videos, but I guess it is. You're right. Because like I watched the new Superman theme. One of the composer guys who like breaks it down on the piano. And yeah, I watched that. So I mean, yeah, okay, fine. I get it.
The classical lady with the harp that listens to the classic rock music.
Yeah, what's her name? I know I've seen it, and I think I've watched her a couple times. But yes, those kind of things. I think of them as more adding to society's content by breaking down the things. Then watching Jaws for the first. So watching Jaws for the first time when you're like this 20, 30 something who's just never seen it. Like that to me is a little less exciting. But no, that stuff's good. So, and marbles, all the marbles.
I was gonna say, I love it when TikTok gives me those like music. I think the account is called Music Reacts, and it's like the listening to Taylor Swift songs for the first time.
I get hooked. Oh, I love them. They actually have just started listening to the songs from K-pop Demon Hunters, and they're so fucking cute. I absolutely love them.
There's also oh my god, I can't think of their names. And if I know we were to talk about this, I'd have found them. It's like a husband and wife, black couple that listen to Taylor Swift for the first time, and they get so fucking animated. They are so adorable, and I love watching that. And then they got into like Florence and the Machine after seeing Florence and Taylor do Florida together. Those are fun, and I when they get to songs that really speak to me. Seeing somebody else hear it for the first time and reacting or getting emotional to it makes me tear up so much. Like it's crazy to watch.
Watching them listen to Chapel Rowan for the first time, that's when I discovered them. And then I love them. It's so pure. It's so pure.
Yeah. It's nice to like cleanse the palate from like all of the shitty stuff that's out there with those types of like genuine like reactions, those nice types of moments with the content creators on these apps. But yeah, no, it's I know that there is a lot of stuff that we're going to talk about in the pop culture world. Don't worry, we will talk All-Stars 10, we'll talk Superman, we'll talk Fantastic Four. I'll probably bring up Marbles again at some point just because it's crazy it's your current
fixation.
It's not even like Brian said, there's wrestling content, there's drag content, there's playthroughs of either like Mario Maker, Mario Odyssey, or like some sort of like in that sphere.
Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah, Tears of the Kingdom. Like this is, and I haven't even like been watching my commentary YouTube, and a little bit of Survivor as well. Like, so it's just like little smatterings of some stuff, and then like these big chunks. And this Marble video just broke through the noise and found its way to a new home. But we are going to talk about all that. But the big part of this gathering today was to celebrate 15 years of Flame On. I know that it's been a little wonky schedule-wise, we're a lot older and in much different places than we were 15 years ago. But it has been a fantastic ride. It's something that I know that has been both a burden and a pleasure for all of us to do at times. But we do this because we enjoy it and because you out there are listening. So feel free to write in, feel free to send us messages. Let us know what your favorite moment of your time listening to Flame On has been, whether you've been here from the beginning or you're a newer listener. And we appreciate that. So boys, thank you for joining me on this episode and the celebration of the podcast that we all have helped grow and build and be a part of. And with that, we'll be back in probably a couple of weeks with another episode. More than likely, we'll get some new content out to you shortly. But until then, bye, y'all.
Bye.